We're coming to the end of our series called Jesus Worth Following, and we land here. It's a series of warnings to Jesus' disciples. Now, you thought it was all fun and games and miracles to follow Jesus from the start of this, didn't you? No, you thought it meant that everything would go your way. You'd be living life sweet following him. I think we're all living in the real world enough to know that that's not the case. But let's take some time to hear Jesus' warning to his disciples as he sends them out. And first from me, a quote that I absolutely love. It's from a guy called Dave Adamson, and he is what you would probably call a Christian influencer, I guess. He used to work at North Point in Georgia. He's an Australian. His handle is Aussie Dave. Anyway, the quote is, I guess because he was an American working in Australian working in America when Twitter became a thing. Anyway, the quote is this. If people hate you because of Jesus, that's expected. If people hate Jesus because of you, that's a problem. And I love this quote because it's an absolute truth bomb. Because I feel at times we've got these sorts of passages a little wrong in applying them to our world today. I wonder sometimes if some sections, not all, of the modern evangelical Christian world actually focus in a little too much on passages like this one that we're reading from and learning from today and forget about all the ones that came before it. And if you spend too much time here and not there, you end up at the extreme end in a cycle where anything that in any way doesn't go the way you want it to is persecution, and you also land in a place where everything becomes a fight. And I want to start here because it sets the tone for where I feel like God wants to lead us today. Because these passages are warnings, yes, but they are warnings first and foremost to Jesus' disciples in the approximate year, 32-ish AD or CE, whichever of those things you use. He is sending them out into a world where their actions, caring for others, helping the oppressed. Matthew 10:7 is where we see what Jesus has told them to do. Go proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. This is the thing that they're going to do that's going to bring the oppression, and it's going to upset the balance of the world that they're living in. He is sending them out into a world where they will be declaring Jesus Christ alone as the Messiah in a place full of Jewish leaders who won't like that claim because it threatens their power and authority. It is in that context that we must remember to hear these warnings first. Jesus doesn't tell them to go looking for a fight. He tells them to step out and love people. The fight will find them, yes, if they are truly following his ways in the world. And the fight will find them because by following the way of Jesus, they're threatening the structures of power in this world. The disciples, as they stepped out into the world and they went from town to town to declare the good news of Jesus, started saying things like, Galatians 3, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. This is a world where a large proportion of the population were owned or subservient to someone else in power. They had no freedom. Baby girls were often left in ditches because women had no inherent value other than childbearing in most places or many places. And Jewish people saw themselves as God's chosen ones above and beyond anyone else, and that meant they had rights over others. And some of these things still happen in places around the world today, but we here live in a post-Christendom Western culture. And so the context into which we go is very different, even if it does have some similarities. And so I wanted to start there because I wanted to remind us that this isn't about taking a fight to the world. This is about letting ourselves be the hands and feet of Jesus and trusting God when things maybe don't go our way or don't go the way we think that they should go, or whatever that looks like as we step out to do that and to serve the world around us. I want to sort of zone in on a few different sections. And the first is this, Matthew 10, 19 to 20, if you have your Bibles open or with you or on a phone, feel free to open the passage, but no pressure. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Following Jesus with our whole lives will inherently find us in sticky situations. Things, people, structures will oppose us for calling out behaviour which oppresses and harms others. And it's there that we will find ourselves in situations where we have to explain what we're doing. It should never be the case that people are opposing us because we're intentionally going out and causing trouble. I don't really expect that of most of you in this room. There's a few of you that I don't trust. No. But people will oppose us because we're living a life that doesn't fit within the expectations of the world. And what does that look like for us today? Many of you work in organisations that, let's be if we're completely honest with each other, don't really take the letter of the law always. You know, this is the spirit of the law and the actual law or things like that. You work in places where maybe you don't do that, but people you work with do things that might just be a little bit outside of what we would expect of people to behave. There will be times where God will call you to stand up against that. And that is going to put you in a place that's a little bit sticky for you. But you should not be afraid. Do not worry. Because if what you're doing is following the Spirit of God and what God is calling us to do and who He is calling us to be in the world, then He will provide you with the words when you get there, as long as you're leaving yourself enough space to hear from Him. We don't want to get caught up in all the debates. We want to get caught up in Jesus. And when we do that, then nothing actually can stand against us. Because the truth is that He has already won every battle that there is to be won. Yes, we live in a world that is now and not yet, but Jesus is King. And so it might look hard in the context of being the person that has to say or do something that means that you're going to put yourself in the spotlight for calling someone out. But God says that He will be there right alongside you as you do that, if you're doing it in order to be a good and true follower of Him. I love Michelle Obama says, they go low, we go high. We choose to be the people who are going to make a difference. And conveniently enough, in this passage, Jesus says three times something that says a lot in Scripture, and something that is in Scripture. I think it's the command that is said the most in Scripture or the New Testament. I forgot to double check that one. Don't be afraid. You are worth more to God than you will ever know. Don't be afraid. Don't go looking for trouble in order to follow Jesus. But also don't be scared if one comes. Because you know how I know that the Spirit of the Father can speak through you? Because if you declare Jesus as Lord and you follow him, the Spirit of God lives in you. You have the essence of who God is within you. To be called out in these times. And Jesus says, and even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. It's verses 30 and 31. One of the great things about being a follower of Jesus is all of the things that we've read about over the previous weeks that come with being a follower of him. It's a beautiful privilege to know the living God. So don't be afraid. There's only so much that someone in this world can do to harm us. The passage tells us to not be afraid of those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. We don't want to be afraid of the people or of the situations or the circumstances that we might find ourselves in, the confrontation that might come our way if we do this thing. Sometimes it's actually quite surprising how easily it goes your way when you step out in the will of God. But we should be most afraid of the one who seeks to just dull down our faith and our commitment to Jesus the most. Because that's actually the easiest thing. I'm a 90s child, and so I'm going to get this quote wrong because it literally just came into my head. But that means that I grew up with DC Talk. If you grew up in the church in the 90s, then you probably also know who DC Talk are. Yeah. And the greatest cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who profess with their mouth and then go out the door and deny it by their lifestyle. It's the start of one of their songs. They read this quote. I don't know who the quote's from. Originally, I just know that it's at the start of a DC Talk song. But that's the thing. The devil is most seeking to destroy in us. To let us sit here on Sunday and declare the word of God with our mouths, and to be happy and comfortable in our Christian community, and then to go out that door and to not exhibit that in the way that we live in the world. To not be the people who are seeking to help heal the sick, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons, raise the dead, proclaim that the kingdom of God is here. But don't be afraid, for you are worth more than many sparrows to the God who owns the universe. And so we find ourselves here in this last section that I want to focus in on, which is the last two verses. Because whoever does not take up their cross and follow me, not me, obviously Jesus, is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. These sentences appear again in every gospel, I think, but at some form of them appear multiple times in some of the gospels. And friends, I want to ask you this morning, what would it look like for you to truly lay down your life for Jesus? Because I think it's really easy for us to contemplate that as an idea. But to not quite do it. There's that little thing that we just don't quite want to let go of. And I'm speaking about myself as much as I am everyone else. You might think, but she followed God into ministry. So, you know, she just laid down her life. Yeah, probably. To some extent. It's a lot of other things I still hold on to. The dreams that I had before God made me go into ministry. Made me. Ministers' kids, we don't really like to follow our parents into ministry, but God often just leads us there. The first disciples, though, they gave up everything to follow him. It's funny because as I was reflecting on this, the first sermon in this series, which I preached, we actually hear a mention of Peter's mother-in-law, right? And then I got caught up in this whole cycle of thought. Well, Peter has a mother-in-law. That means Peter has a wife. I think Peter's wife is mentioned anywhere in Scripture. Please correct me if I'm wrong, Tavis or Adam. No, I don't think so either. The question is, did she go everywhere that Peter went? I don't know. It's possible, probably unlikely. Many of the disciples would have been married, even if we do think that most of them were probably somewhere between 16 and 25. Does that mean they also had children? They gave up income for their families in order to follow Jesus. They gave up literally everything to follow him. I'm not saying abandon your families, please don't do that. But what would it look like to take up your cross and follow Jesus? One of the things that I often sense in Christians is a fear that if they fully, surrender their life to God, then he's going to make them do something absolutely crazy. Look, there's a serious chance that if you give your whole life to God, he will call you to do something that looks absolutely crazy to the world around us, to the people in this world that don't know him. But it also might just look like the absolutely right and perfect thing for you and your family and your life and your ability to follow him and who he is. Because, spoiler alert, everything we have in this world actually already belongs to him. He is the creator, he is the redeemer, and he has given this world over to us to love, to care for. And when our hearts are fully set free in surrender to him, our mindsets and our lives are changed. The expectations that we have of the world are changed. The things that we really feel like we have to or need to or want to do in this world and in this life are changed. Friends, do you truly believe that God has and wants the best for humanity and for you? Serious question. Because if you do, and if you truly believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world, then we have no other option but surrender. To give our lives over to him. To experience the freedom that comes in living life fully in step with the Spirit of God. Because whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it.